Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Hi.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Drunk Tank.
This is Bernie Burns.
Jeff Ramsey.
Gus Arola.
Joel Heyman.
Dr. Pussy Magnet.
Welcome to the Rooster Teeth Podcast.
I was scared as hell.
Theme song stole my intro.
Let's all be miserable.
Fantastic.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the podcast.
Boom, boom, hey. Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
How you guys doing? Good. Good. It seems like everyone's super high energy today.
Woo. I'm doing great.
Hey.
We got Bernie, Jeff, and Griffin in here with me.
Hi.
Gus. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Gus.
Good.
I'm super high energy. I just heard that I was, at least.
Yeah. You know it's true. So, Jeff and Griffin, you guys have been playing Fable 3 that just came out, right?
Yes.
How is that affecting your home life?
I've got a friend in town right now, and I was like, I'm sorry, I know I haven't seen you in 10 years, but I have to play Fable 3. You don't understand. Just sit there quietly and don't distract me.
I'll tell you how it's affecting our home life. My wife doesn't fucking fast travel, and it drives me crazy.
Oh, whatever. I'm just taking it aside. I do forget to fast travel sometimes.
And then she'll be like,
are y'all playing co-op?
You just turn it in the mission.
Not yet.
No, not yet. You just turn it in the mission. Just fast travel back to Brightwater.
My problem with my husband is that he will not let me just play the fucking game. He'll walk in the room like, oh, well, you know, you could do this. Oh, this is over here.
Dude.
Just do this first. And it's like, all right, I'm playing. Part of the fun of playing a game, especially a game like that, is figuring it out. Me just going and like sword fighting while you tell me what to do is no fun.
Listen, if you're next to a silver key, I'm going to tell you there's a silver key.
No, I appreciate
area.
That, but it's like, that's not all you tell me. That's not where it ends.
You're right, I'm sorry. I see you running through the snow for an hour going, man, it takes a long time to get to the mercenary camp back to Brightwall. And I go, you could fast travel. And you go, I know I can fast travel. And then you go, I'm going to fast travel.
Okay, but here's the thing. Last night, I was trying to get the story, and like, because I'm actually interested in the story. I'm reading Fable of the Valverine Order.
Hey, don't smack the...
I'm going to smack that table. Don't even tell me what to do.
All right.
So I've been trying to...
What is that, first of all?
It's a novel.
Yeah. So it's just novel. Like, I really like this game, and I'm trying to like learn, you know, everything about it, and actually pay attention to the story this time and not just get into like the playing with the characters, whatever. So...
Don't hit the table.
So it's just in my way. I'll move my hands. So I've been trying to pay attention to the game, but you, like, someone of our friends dropped by last night. We already have the friend from in town. And then you decided that the TV was distracting, even though I kind of reserved the television to play the game. And you turn it down, and you stand in front of the television. And, of course, I don't know the story. So then when I don't realize that I'm done with my mission, because I fought some guys and I'm suddenly following my little shiny trail back somewhere, it's not really my fault, right?
Listen, dude, if you want to pay attention to the story, don't invite half of Austin over to our house.
I didn't. Well, I mean.
Yeah, no.
It's just bad timing.
Uh-huh.
I just really like this game.
Great game.
You know,
really good game.
I just want to point out, though, if you're reading a novel based on a video game, you're not required to tell people that. You can just keep that to yourself if you want to.
Not one of the things you have to share.
I'm trying to meet all the real fans.
There you go. You're getting into the expanded universe. Yes.
Is there any tie-in, like gameplay-wise, between the novel and the game? Like, you get like a special something in the game?
Yeah,
if you buy the book.
You get like a code for a weapon.
Yeah,
special I haven't
sword.
Used it yet, and I actually haven't gotten that far in the book. So no, nobody spoil anything for
Is
me.
Is that what you meant, Gus? That you get a digital download code?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You get some intangible other item.
So you actually get a DLC code for reading the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the book. It's an insert.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, now you want that book, right?
It's too bad it's not like they didn't have, the author wasn't forced to integrate the code into it, like the words in
like
the book.
Like hide it so you actually have to
it's
read
like the
it.
Sorcerer cast his spell, YXC8RF.
I guess, people went and found that at a bookstore, could they just steal the code and then not get the book and that person who buys that book is screwed?
Typically those codes you have to pull off a little piece to reveal it or scratch it off.
Yeah, it's
this one it's a scratch off.
Yeah, I haven't used it yet. You're right, Bernie.
By the way, Gus, I did the, because I pre-ordered the game, I have the ability to create my own unique villager that's imported into the game and I created you.
Nice.
And
awesome.
They put you through a personality test where you try to answer, like, try to create Gus. And so I answered as truthfully as I could to all of them. I ran into you in the game yesterday, and you literally said, "Hey, what's up? I'm Gus the Villager. I would like you to kill my boss for me."
I'll be at the bar if you need
me. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's definitely Gus. So
that's awesome.
I have opted not to kill your boss.
My wife also did the same thing. She made me in Fable 3, except she called me Gustache.
Do you have a Gustache?
I have a Gustache, I guess.
Do they actually, when you create the characters, can they actually look like, does it look like Gus?
You get like 5 or 6 faces you can pick from.
Oh, okay. When you showed me, he had no face because there was some kind of glitch, and it was just like...
Yeah, it doesn't work very well in Safari.
Like some sideburns and a hat. And
yeah, sideburns and a hat. That's what I think of Gus.
sideburns.
That's about it. Yeah, that village creator tool is pretty cool, except you're right, it definitely had trouble working in Safari.
Yeah. But it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Although I do feel like in the first day I played Fable, between like all the different codes and like those kind of things you get, I felt like I spent the first 45 minutes I played Fable just entering in codes, redeeming codes. Yeah.
I haven't even played Fable yet, and I feel like I spent half an hour putting codes in.
Yeah.
Like there was a code for pre-ordering. There was a code for the villager. There was another code to download a free weapons pack.
Then if you buy the special edition, there's 2 codes inside the special edition, and then there's the book code, and it's like... It's like when Viva Pinata 2 came out, and they had all those, do you remember those scannable cards?
Yeah.
And they were like, every time you turned around, there was like 1,000 new scannable cards.
Yeah, that you could print out, and then
you take a picture with the game.
Yeah, you scan it in with the camera, the Xbox camera, right?
Yeah.
Xbox Live Vision.
You know, you guys were talking about, you made a joke about in the novelization of Fable that the guy would have a spell combination that you could use in the game.
Right.
Viva Pinata actually did that. They had a show that went along with Viva Pinata, a 3D animated cartoon show, essentially.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And they would do things on the show, and if you replicated them in the game, you would get the result from the show. Like, they were pre-embedded in the game.
You know, I watched that show, and I don't remember that. That's cool. I never picked up on it.
Like, if you fed,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A pistachio, a mulganberry, or whatever the hell. I can't even think of the fruits from from a monkey nut tree or whatever. Then it would turn a certain color, and then if you tried it, it was a big deal to find out, like, what foods change certain animals different colors.
Right.
Jeff and I played a lot of Viva Pinata.
1,000-pointed both of those 2 games.
Yep.
That's a tremendous undertaking. That is no joke, 1,000-pointed Viva Pinata 2.
It requires a spreadsheet.
It requires,
yeah, we've heard about
like
spreadsheet.
4 spreadsheets.
It's also just actually a pretty stressful game with all of the pests and stuff.
Oh,
and like,
God,
dude,
don't even get me started on a pest.
Like, what was that?
No, Dr. Pester? You can get rid of most of them, though.
Yeah, but then you can't totally. It helps if you have, like, Dragosaur. What was it called? The dragon that would scare off? Because the one dude, Professor Pester, you can't
like
get rid
of. Like a dragonfly or something, right?
No, what was it?
No, it had a different name. It wasn't dragon. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, it was something else. And then there was also a rhino that would boot him the fuck out if you had a special rhino.
That was the Limosaurus.
Limosaurus, yeah.
That was your favorite, right? You bring
Dragon
that one.
Dragonash.
Dragonash. The Dragonash and the Limosaurus would do most of your work for you.
The Dragonash you got by digging up, like, getting miners in there and digging up and finding an egg. Right?
Yeah, right, and then you have to hatch it in a certain way.
And then you have to rescue the miners, and it's a whole ordeal.
$1 million. Cost $1 million gold coins
per miner.
Gotta get
fucking sunglasses for them when they come out.
Dragonash's mister shows up. Now, all the animals in Viva Pinata are supposed to sound like some kind of candy.
Yes.
And that got a little thin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Limosaurus really doesn't... sound much like rhinoceros, except for the osaurus at the end. Like, you could call it the lemonosaurus. But the what is Dragon Ash? What is that supposed to be? Like, Dragon H? Dragon H?
I don't know. It's probably some European candy we're not familiar with.
Dragon H? Dragon H?
No idea.
Yeah, that can't be what it's supposed to be.
What was that fruit that supposedly stinks?
Durian.
Durian, the durian fruit.
Gus and I have actually, or you.
It was you. It was us.
Us, yeah. We've been to hotels where they have signs up in the lobby saying you can't eat those fruits.
Yeah, no durian fruit allowed in this hotel.
What are you guys talking about?
Never heard of
that. Hey, remember that shitty hotel you booked us in Toronto where we thought we were going to die? They didn't allow durian fruit.
Oh.
So this is a durian. I'm going to show you a picture of it. And if Gus, I'm sure we'll put a link in the linked up. But essentially, it's like
Oh, yeah, they're at the grocery store.
It's like a spiky ball. Well, apparently, if you cut them open, they smell like death.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they smell terrible. And then they taste apparently horrible, too. But then once you get used to it, it's awesome.
Have you ever had one?
They're always bragging about them at Central Market and Whole Foods.
Well, go get one.
I'm fucking...
It looks fucking disgusting. I just looked at one cut open.
So it's like...
It looks like an alien.
It has a custard in it or something.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty gross looking. Yeah. And you can't eat one in the hotel that Jeff booked us in Toronto.
Yeah. So that hotel had one thing going for it, is what we're getting at.
You know what else you can't do at that hotel? Get an ambulance when you get hit by a car. Because we heard that guy get hit by that car, and we never saw an ambulance show up.
Was he like Will Ferrell in the Austin Powers movie? He just laid on the ground and begged for help for 3 days?
It's universal healthcare, so maybe like everyone's required to take him themselves. Like if you see an accident, you have to put the guy in your car.
Everyone had to contribute a Band-Aid. Like, okay, we get enough, it'll help. There's a Band-Aid and aspirin.
I need 50 cc's of poutine stat.
You know, getting what you were saying about an aspirin and Band-Aids, I was in Germany once. I had to get a wisdom tooth pulled, and they had socialized healthcare or whatever. So I went in, and the guy just walks in. He like doesn't even say hi to me. He like sticks a needle in my gum or whatever and rips my tooth out within like a 2 minute period. Like he was just like.
So he was efficient. German efficiency.
Very German and very efficient. Rips my tooth out. Fucking hurts. And it's a really traumatic experience. And I had never been afraid of the dentist until then. And then he gives me two pills and he says, if it hurts, take an aspirin. And my face got so swollen. But in the U.S., I came and I got the rest of them pulled because that one was the problem. So I had them pulled, and they were like, here's some nitrous oxide. We can get you Vicodin. Anything else you need, just let us know. If you want, I can put you under. And I'm like, no, it's probably not necessary. But it was pretty crazy, just like, what a difference.
So the Germans were cold and efficient to you.
Yeah.
Man, surprising. That's not their reputation.
I mean, I'm okay with cold and efficient because I get that, but when you have somebody in your mouth ripping out your teeth, you kind of want a little bit of a bedside manner.
I hope somebody can sing, what do you call it when you, I'm drawing a blank here.
I don't know.
Isolate that part when you have somebody in your mouth and turn that into a song.
That's it. I know we're going to get a million of them now.
A million when you have somebody in your mouth songs.
I can give another perspective of the American version of wisdom teeth being taken out. I was in college, or just out of college, and I really couldn't afford to have any dental work.
Oh, no.
So I went to one of those experimental places where they would give you some kind of new pain medication while they pulled your teeth out. And you might have been in the control group, which was no pain medication.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Placebo.
Here's a sugar pill. Let me rip out your teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you could... like essentially pull the eject cord and say, "Hey, I'm out," because that was part of the test. Like saying this does, they were testing the effectiveness of this pain medication.
I don't think the control group should be no medicine. Should be like standard medicine, right? Like not just none. Like no, okay,
I'm
this
sure,
is better than
I'm
nothing.
I'm sure there's different groups. I'm sure they have the new drug, the normal drug, and the sugar pill.
Oh man!
And you don't know which one you're getting.
I know
they're testing the effects of the power of thought. If you think you're taking medicine, maybe it won't hurt.
I think the control group should have been that they don't pull out your teeth.
Yeah.
Just like go in there, tap around for a second, go, all done.
But you get to sit in a chair and watch TV for 6 hours under a blanket.
I got to watch a guy hit my face with what looked like a big brick.
Maybe that's what they were testing, like new tooth removal techniques.
I got my wisdom teeth taken out when I was 14. They put me under. I don't remember any of it. It was a totally painless experience.
I would not let anyone put me under for anything whatsoever.
Oh, it's the
really?
Best.
Never. I've never lost consciousness, and I would not do it.
You almost did that one time the pipe fell on your head.
Yeah, when Jeff almost brained me, yeah. There's been a couple times I've come close. You know, like almost fainted or something like that. You ever fainted, anybody?
I got really close once.
I came close.
I don't.
I got put under for a tonsillectomy once.
You said you passed out when you had your kid, right?
Oh, Dad, I guess I can't tell if I passed out or fell asleep, but when I was between contractions, like I would be screaming.
Do people snore when they're passed out?
I guess yeah. I must have been sleeping, but yeah, like yeah. I had contractions. I'd be like screaming like crazy, and then the moment the contraction was over, apparently I would just pass out, and then I'd wake up for the next one.
I got heat stroke in Kuwait once, and I kind of got woozy and had to sit down. That was about the closest stuff come.
Have I ever told you that I was born without wisdom teeth?
Really?
Yeah, I'm more evolved than you savages.
What does that say about you?
It says I'm fucking from the future.
How does that make you more evolved than us?
I lost that shit I don't need anymore. You guys just, are like cavemen. Dude, fucking your teeth are going to fall out and the new one's going
to
come in.
You grew up next to a radioactive river.
Yeah,
I think it might have more
to
do with that.
I did grow up next to a radioactive river.
You also have a tail.
Have you ever met anybody who has a second set of teeth like a shark?
Yeah, like in school, the ones that didn't fall out. No. And then the others would come up on top and it was kind of creepy.
I knew a lady that had too many teeth and they were tiny, like daggers.
Too many teeth?
Yeah, she had more teeth.
Really?
Yeah, it's just creepy.
That sounds way creepy.
I didn't like her. She fucked me over, and I had to go to Panama for her because, well, that's a long story.
What?
That's an army thing.
Okay.
It was not my turn to go on deployment, and she screwed me over.
You
and
just
I had
got
to
back
go.
From somewhere, right?
I had just gotten back from 3 months in Kuwait, yeah. I mean, I was back 3 days, and I walked into work, and my boss literally goes, here's a handgun. I hope you didn't unpack yet. You're leaving for Kuwait in 2 hours.
Or for Panama
in 2 hours. Oh. And I was like, it's December 14th. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Your mom was pretty upset because that was right about Christmas, right?
I got a funny story about that. So I had to call my mom.
Because my son was going to Panama.
I had to call my mom and tell her that I wasn't going to be home for Christmas, and my boss made me do it in front of him, and it was a secret mission. Like I'm doing with the quotes, secret mission. And so I was not allowed to tell her where I was going, which when you're 18 and you call your mom, you know, a week before Christmas when she expects you home in 2 days and you go, hey, I'm not coming home. I'm being deployed to a third world country. I'm not allowed to tell you where I'm going. So I was so pissed off. And I said, Mom, I'm sorry to have to tell you this. I'm not going to be home for Christmas. I've been deployed to a third world country. I'm not allowed to tell you where I'm going, but I will say it rhymes with Manama. And it was probably the closest I've ever come to insubordination in the military.
I'm surprised that that's the closest.
I didn't get in any trouble. My boss just shook his head and like put his...
It seems like almost every week you have a story where you almost got kicked out of the army or you almost got your pay docked or...
You
court-martialed.
Didn't you tell a general once that you weren't doing anything and you watched movies all day or whatever?
Yeah, I'm too honest.
I just want to point out something, and you go back and verify this, but I'm pretty sure Jeff just called his CO his wife.
What?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I didn't catch that. We'll have to listen.
I don't know about
this
that.
This is where
one.
We'll insert the rewind.
Don't ask, don't tell.
We had someone, you know, I don't remember last week we talked about... songs that people commit suicide to. And it was a great start to the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
And we actually had a an outside expert contact us and give us some insight. I guess it's someone who's a funeral director.
This expert did come from the internet. I want to point that out.
From the internet. Told
Is
us that...
Somebody on the website?
I don't know if he's on the website. He listens to the podcast.
I think he called in and left a message, actually.
I wasn't going
to
say that because I don't want people calling in. But he let us know, I guess, that a few years back, the most popular song for that was Adam's Song by Blink-182.
Which,
isn't that ironic?
Which seems really stupid to me.
Why? What's the song about?
Because the song's about a kid who killed himself and how you shouldn't kill yourself.
Yeah, it's a song talking about how you
it's
shouldn't
kill yourself. It's like an anti-kill yourself song.
That's like, I don't know, it's not creative if you're killing yourself to a song about killing yourself. I don't know, I feel like you should be a little wackier with
it's
it.
It's a little cliche, right? Yeah.
Maybe it's for the better then, the fucking unoriginal people. Get rid of them.
Not to dwell on suicide, but one thing I've noticed about people that I've known in the past and didn't know very
not
well.
Not to dwell on suicide.
But not people I don't I've never been close to anyone who's committed suicide, but I've known people like in high school and then later. And one thing that they always comes up, they always like the ones the people that I knew, they always like arrange for gifts to arrive after they died. Like almost like unfinished business, like somebody was nice to them. And it was weird too. Like we had a potato masher sent to us from a girl who committed suicide who had stayed with us for like a day. It was like
it's true, it was sad.
Our friend's girlfriend.
You know, Gus and I actually had a friend at the old tech support company we worked with who that's a pretty common, like well known thing. And she gave me a chair and Gus something and she was giving away a bunch of stuff to just all the employees, and Gus and I were convinced she was going to commit suicide for like 2 days. Turned out she was moving and didn't have room for all the new stuff. But like, I was really worried that she was going to commit suicide for a couple days because she was kind of unique anyway.
Yeah,
you know. So
I forgot about that. It's funny.
Did not commit suicide, and I got a chair out of it.
As far as we know, she moved to another city,
plane of existence.
What do you think is the closest you've ever come to dying?
Oh God, I don't know. I did a lot of dumb stuff. I probably wouldn't even know, you know? Like, I could have been, like, a minute behind or in front of an accident and have never known it.
Or, like, you got delayed.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah.
What about you?
Man, I got a couple motorcycle wrecks as a kid that I probably should have died in. I had a diving accident where I broke my leg.
And oh,
I,
yeah.
I almost dove instead of jumping in the water, but at the last minute I thought, maybe I should jump instead of diving. Had I dove into that water, I probably would have died. Or been paralyzed forever, which would have sucked. But I was thinking about this the other day. I had a weird thought that maybe I died during one of my accidents where I thought, oh, wow, you know, I hit my head. There's literally one time where I flew over the handlebars of a motorcycle and landed. I was wearing a baseball cap, and that little steel bolt in the top of the cap, like, dug and put a dent in the top of my skull. So I landed on the top of my head.
Oh, man.
Is that dent still there? Do you still have, like, a baseball mark?
I got a really lumpy head. I don't think that's there, no.
I
also one time laid my motorcycle down, and through some weird, you know, circumstance of physics, the gas cap popped off and covered me in gasoline.
Wow.
Head-to-toe gas.
Wow. Oh, that's like a Brake.com video waiting to happen.
And the bike was still running when this happened. Oh, so, man. Anyway, a weird thought that, like, what if my brain just filled in the rest of this stuff? There's got to be a movie about that. Like, you're in a coma somewhere.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of movies
like this
like
is
that.
Like Sixth Sense, it's except like you just go to work every day and that's the twist.
Well, like, what if you woke up and it's like you then
or like Jacob's Ladder kind of thing.
You're 18 and you've lived like, you know, you live a whole life, you die as an old man, and you come out of your coma and you're 18, you know, and you have a totally different life again.
Or like that Star Trek episode with Picard.
Hey, that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
It's almost like Inception as well, where you're stuck in the void and all this time has passed, but it really hasn't passed in for your real body.
Right.
I had a moment where I thought I was dead for about 15 seconds.
I've had that.
Where I used to show up to play with my friends late because my mom had a list of chores for me to do every day. And so I would invariably get to where my friends were hanging out after school, and they would be standing around, and I'd be like, what are you guys doing? And they would go, oh, we all just did X. You should try it. And I'll go, it seems dangerous. And they go, no, we already did it. It's fine. And one day I showed up. My friends were standing next to a quarter pipe that we'd made for skating. It was about 6 feet tall. It had 2 feet of vert. And I was like 10. And they were all standing around it on their bicycles. And I go, what are you guys doing? They go, we just all jumped this quarter pipe. And I was like, wow, that seems really dangerous. Are you guys going to do it again? And they're like, no, man, we already did it. We proved it. You're the only one that hasn't done it. And I was like, I don't know. And they're like, no, trust us. We did it. It was awesome. It was really fun. And I was like, shit, I guess if you guys did it. And they were like, you got to be going fast. And so
your friends are assholes, by
the
way.
And so awesome. I turned around. I drove all the way down the street, like a half mile. Rode as fast as I could, hit the ramp, went straight up in the air. I must have gone like 7-8 feet in the air, just barely cleared it, hit the ground, and I heard two loud explosions, and then there was nothing but smoke around me, and I was just sitting in smoke, and it was like really dense and thick, and I was like, this must be like heaven. I died, I broke my neck, and this is heaven, and it was like there was no sound, because I was like, my ears were ringing, and I was like, wow, this sucks that I died on a bicycle stunt. And then the smoke cleared away, and I realized that I had gone so high in the air that when I landed, I popped both of my tires.
Oh, really?
And it was so loud that it hurt my ears, so I couldn't hear for a second. And then I had landed in a big pile of, like, dirt, and so it all clouded up, and I couldn't see. And my friends all go, yeah, you idiot. We knew you'd be the one to try it. We were all too scared.
The closest I've ever come is I got peppered by a shotgun once when I was hunting.
Oh, God.
Shit, yeah. Really? You've been shot?
Yeah.
Really?
It
wasn't bad. I mean,
did
I
lived. Chaney or?
Did it break the skin?
Yeah, a couple of places, but not, you know, just small cuts.
That's a crazy. Major problem where I come from. Like, we've got my county in Oregon has, like, the highest poaching / hunting accident rate or whatever, like, in the state.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get shot.
Yeah.
I was on the other end of that one time when I was in high school. My friend got a new 22 for Christmas, and he was like, hey, you want to come shoot my 22? And I was like, yeah, sure, man. So we were shooting, like, beer cans behind his house into the woods. And supposedly 22 goes a long way.
Yeah.
And,
it's
a rifle.
So later on that night, a cop showed up at our house, and he goes, I'd like to speak to your parents. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then the guy goes, yeah, your son was firing a 22 into the woods, and he put 4 rounds into an apartment complex.
Jesus.
And specifically into a man's home while he was there, and almost shot a man, and he gave me a warning.
Do you think that if you shot...
Could you imagine being the guy who's just, like, sitting in your lazy boy watching TV, and all of a sudden bullets start flying?
You're like, what is that? What the fuck? There's another one.
Do you think that if you got shot by a 22 at that range, it's not going to be that bad, right?
It went through his wall.
Yeah, if it went through
as
his wall...
As opposed to what? As opposed to not being shot?
No. I don't know. Like, a 22 doesn't...
But that was one of those moments where I thought, like, I'm really lucky to be in Alabama, because probably in another state, I'd be going to jail right now, or I'd be in a lot more trouble. And the cop's like, don't shoot guns. I was like, okay.
In Alabama, it's like, well, boys will be boys. I'll shoot into people's apartment complexes.
I thought I was dead once when a buddy of mine was renovating his room at our dorm, essentially. We had a private dorm. And
ooh la la.
I know, it's nice. And he was adding an electrical plug, so he was extending an electrical plug to the back wall. And he decided to take a break and go to lunch, so he left an exposed live wire. And he separated the two ends as far as he could.
Ouch.
And then, so that nobody would mess with it, he covered it with a newspaper.
Safety first.
And so I went into his room, and I was going to look out the window to try to find him because we had these low windows, and I knelt down and grabbed the windowsill, and I didn't know, but I knelt right on this thing underneath the Andy Cap funny paper that he put under. And as soon as I grabbed the windowsill, I was standing up across the room. I didn't know what happened. Like, I was just, bam, I was across the room and standing up from a kneeling position. And I had this hum in my head that I will never forget. That I could almost, like, I could, like, feel it and taste it and hear it at the same time. And I was pretty sure for a few minutes that I was dead. And I just didn't know it.
After you get electrocuted like that, are you sore later? Like, because all your muscles contract in a weird way, right?
I think I just had, like, a straight shot. And, like, I think what happened was I grabbed the windowsill and I was leaning forward to lean out the window. And I think what happened was as soon as I touched the windowsill, they extended and pushed me up away from the window.
And did
good
you
thing
have,
they didn't push you out the window.
Yeah,
for a brief period of time afterward, did you have any kind of powers?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. It's all bullshit.
It's a ripoff.
Electricity is the worst.
I hate electricity. I hate stuff that's invisible that can kill you.
Yeah, stupid electricity.
What's it
ever done for us?
It's the one thing, like in handiwork that I still is like, oh, crap. I'd rather, like, crack open the computer and an engine in a modern car than deal with, like, a light bulb.
What? Oh, go ahead.
No, I had to switch out a dimmer socket for my wife the other day. She wanted a switch that went to a dimmer switch. I'm like, I know that's going to kill me.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hey, were either of you guys in the office the other day when we had the smoke alarm incident? Did you guys hear about that?
No. Nope.
I heard about it,
yeah.
Wow.
That was you and Nathan, right?
We have a loud smoke alarm.
So what happened?
Shut off.
Okay, so Nathan and I were filming something for the shorts DVD that required a smoke machine in the kitchen, and it set off the smoke alarm, which will not turn itself off, we found out. And it was on for about a half an hour. We switched off, like, every breaker in the building, and eventually Matt had to get on that giant ladder and go up into that huge, door upstairs.
It's like a maintenance area.
It's like a maintenance area where the giant air conditioner is, and it took him another 15 minutes to find a tiny little switch that's hidden behind and under the air conditioner that you can reset that thing with.
So if our smoke alarm goes off, he used the ladder. He didn't use the scissor lift?
No, the ladder was a lot quicker to get in there.
Okay, just what I'm saying. Like, I want to make sure we can get to that thing in the future.
Well, the scissor lift's gone.
Yeah, that's why.
And he knows where it is now.
Okay.
But, man, our smoke alarm is fucking loud. Don't ever set it off. Joel had to leave the building. He had to. He was standing outside in front of the building with his hands in his ears. He was a big help.
I was about to say, it's always nice when somebody's a help like that.
One of the I don't know what they call them, intrusion alarms used to be here in my office right over there above that door.
Uh-huh.
And we tested it once, and you could not be in this room with that thing going off. Was it the same system, do you know, that went off for the smoke alarm, Jeff?
I have no idea.
Man, that thing was fucking loud.
It was so bad where, like, you could be in the kitchen as long as you were facing a certain direction, but if you turned your head a little bit, it became unbearable, so you had to turn back real fast. So you had to kind of, like, walk, like, kind of strafe wherever you were going.
So video games prepared you for this scenario.
They definitely did. Yeah, I was fine.
Did you guys show Monty where it is? Because he's here alone a lot, and he likes to burn waffles.
No.
He likes to burn waffles.
He burns a lot of waffles.
He also likes to make the strongest coffee I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Instead of putting just a few scoops of grounds in, he fills it. The filter looks like a potted plant.
It does.
When he's done with it. That's so much fucking coffee.
What if you'd grow plants in that?
Yeah, well, plants like coffee grounds, so you put it in composters.
There you go.
Monty's busy doing other stuff. He doesn't need to worry about coffee. Well, he's working on cool stuff.
The coffee keeps him fueled doing that stuff, though.
That is true. That is true.
By the way, I figured out the person who opens the gate so that it's just open enough that a small car can get through it, maybe, without a... Whoa.
That was me. I did that. I did this. I made a noise.
Okay.
It's Monty. He opens the front gate so that there's like an inch on either side of his car when he gets through it.
Well, so what's your complaint there?
Just open it enough that everybody can get through.
Well,
it's an extra second to push the damn gate further. It drives me nuts.
So you're complaining...
I hate all of you people.
You're complaining that you have to get out of your car because he got out of his car to open the gate.
Well, if you have one person getting out of their car, right, you don't need two people
getting
out of their car.
I was the first person here this morning. I was the first person here this morning. I have no problem getting out of my car and opening the gate all the way. You'll notice the gate is completely open on both sides because I am conscientious and I care about my coworkers.
I didn't realize we entered the bash Monty section of the
podcast. Oh, no, I'm not bashing Monty. I mean, he's not the only one that does it. Brandon does it too, and I'm pretty sure I've seen Carrie do it. It's just like, it takes an extra 5 seconds to open it enough so that people don't have to, like, finagle their car through the gate like it's a maze.
Yeah.
Would you prefer if he opened the gate and then closed it behind him completely?
That, no.
That makes even less sense. Then he'd have to get out of the car twice.
Is your car that much wider than Monty's?
I guess so. You got a big truck. Doesn't it bother you? Don't you have to?
Monty is about maximizing efficiency.
I understand
that. You know
what I
do? I pull my mirror in. And then I drive up to the thing and I push it from my window. I push it open.
Every 14 people in this company just open the gate. Just
is the gate a problem?
It's annoying.
Wait until it gets to January. Then the gate will become a major issue in this company, I bet. Okay.
I got no problem opening the gate up every morning when I'm the first person here.
Jeff, I'm sorry we have bad news. We're going to deploy you to the gate.
Okay, that's fine.
You have 2 hours.
You have gate duty.
Here's a gun.
So, Gus, you mentioned Inception.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that the creators of South Park had to formally apologize? Or didn't had to, but they chose to formally apologize to College Humor because they directly lifted an entire sketch from College Humor.
Really?
Man, how sad must it be to get ripped off?
That was
college. I feel so bad for College Humor for getting ripped off on the internet. Like, making a really funny web video and then somebody comes and rips it the fuck off. That's really tough. It must have really hurt their feelings and made them feel really small.
It is so strange to have a conversation about ripping stuff off and College Humor's involved.
God damn.
But, man. No, but I thought it was interesting because, I mean, it's literally just word for word. And in some sections, at least. And, I mean, I guess it really wasn't necessary for
Matt Stone.
Is it Matt Stone and
Jay
Parker?
Matt Stone apologized.
Yeah, to do that. But I thought it was interesting that they chose to do it.
The thing that I thought was weird, I thought it was really cool that they apologized and they acknowledged it. The thing that was weird was that Matt Stone said that they watched the College Humor skit because they hadn't seen Inception and they couldn't get a screener. And I just find it hard to believe that they hadn't seen Inception.
Okay,
I bet that movie was under pretty tight lock and key before it came out.
But I mean, just see it in the theater. I mean, it was such a big hit, you know.
Well, and it's kind of, I don't know. Like, I really love South Park, and they make fun of a lot of things. But to make fun of something as much as they did without ever having seen it, just seems kind of douchey.
And also, it seems like they made fun of it. I mean, they said that they assumed that College Humor used a word for word parody.
Well, and
so
College
they were parodying their word
for
word
before
parody.
They did a parody. So obviously, it was accessible.
And also, like if you're going to make an episode parodying something, shouldn't you have seen it? Like, why would they have the idea to lampoon Inception if they haven't seen Inception?
Well, and I can, but with the comic I write comics like if you guys say, oh, I saw this and this was kind of a funny thing that happened, so I'll write it, not having seen it necessarily, especially since I never get out of the house, but. I don't know. They were pretty harsh about Inception, which seemed like they must have seen it and actually.
Well,
they
wrapped a 30-minute or 22-minute episode around it. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just I wouldn't. I've never seen, for instance, I've never seen The Notebook, so I'm not going to make a Notebook parody.
I was forced to watch that in a class at Texas State.
Oh yeah,
but they wouldn't let us watch it. They made us watch the director's commentary for some reason. So I was just watching this director's commentary of this movie because the professor didn't feel like teaching that day. Really, I don't like that movie now because of that.
It's a fine education institution you got your degree from.
It was
from.
Like a TV. It was like an acting for TV film class, and she was just lazy.
There you go.
That was a horrible class. Don't take that class if you're at Texas State.
The excuse that they used was very, very strange.
Yeah, it was an odd excuse.
It was, we couldn't see. I'm gonna paraphrase here because I don't have the quote in front of me, but essentially we couldn't see Inception, and we couldn't get the source material, so we watched the College Humor sketch. And assumed that was word for word, that those were lines from the movie, and so we took the lines from the College Humor sketch.
Yeah, but
essentially, like, you know, sometimes as many as like 5 or 6 lines straight in a row. We took that from there and put it in our piece, and essentially thematically, it's the same scene, but that's somehow a weird valid excuse.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It was just such a weird made up reason why they did it. It would almost been like. We didn't know anybody would have seen this thing.
It's like, oh, yeah. We're sorry because we got caught.
Yeah, why apologize at that point? It's almost worse to apologize.
Literally, the excuse makes no sense to me
No,
whatsoever.
It really doesn't. And especially considering, like, this is the most popular show on a television network that millions of people are going to watch each week, and they're directly lampooning and parodying something that they have no idea what it's about.
Yeah.
And they watch one 3-minute video you know, at 600 by 480 on a website and decide to make a 22-minute episode around it?
It's silly, but I've really liked their, like, social commentary and stuff in the past.
No, I'm a huge South Park fan. It just doesn't make
sense.
But
it makes me kind of, like, not... I don't know. It makes me appreciate it less if they're not actually putting the work in, which is kind of a dumb thing to say, maybe.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, it's hard to take that their opinion about things seriously if they're not going to go to the source.
Yeah, it's oddly enough, the guys who had their stuff stolen is Dan Gurwitch, is one of the writers at College Humor.
That sucks for them.
He was essentially
writer.
He was essentially saying that
the head Apple C, Apple V at the company.
he was essentially saying that these things happen. You know, they're being classy about it. You know, that watch it. And his thing was more of what you'd expect to hear come from South Park, which is, yeah, I guess we watched this thing. It's clear that we directly ripped it off and we didn't mean to. It subconsciously sunk in. Whereas that's not what the South Park guys were saying at all. They were saying, like, yeah, we watched it. We used the lines. We just understand that we were using lines that were not from the movie.
Right. Like, it's just bizarre.
That's kind of a heavy assumption to make, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense on any front.
Yeah. Watch the fucking movie.
I'm actually surprised with South Park it hasn't happened more frequently just because they move so quickly on that show.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I mean, they get a show done. It's almost like The Daily Show and how topical it is. And it's an animated narrative.
They had that Elian Gonzalez episode up 2 days after the Elian Gonzalez thing happened.
I think that's like what their turnaround is, right? Like 2 or 3 days they can pump one out.
And it's impressive that they can work that fast.
Yes, impressive. They didn't actually see any of the Elian Gonzalez coverage. They just saw a picture on the front page of CNN. And
they saw the cover on Mad Magazine.
They folded the picture together and figured out the secret message.
I used to love those.
Have you guys seen the Inception button?
No.
The button that you press on the internet, which is a little red button.
Uh-huh.
You press it and it goes. Oh, there it is right here. Press it and it goes. That's it. add emphasis to anything you say.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Nice.
I'm sticking with this for the rest of the podcast.
There you go.
The
everything you say will be punctuated, so we'll know when to listen. Did any of you guys see that the state of Texas sent a sales tax bill to Amazon?
Wow,
I'm surprised that this isn't bigger news. I feel like it was kind of buried.
I just want to sum up our previous conversation. Just quick, sum it up with key phrases. College Humor, ripoff, South Park is on TV.
So let me make sure I understand that. College Humor, ripoff, South Park is on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I think I have the gist of that now.
That'll be the title of this podcast. I'm just going to Apple C, Apple V that. I mean, College Humor it.
All right, so you're going to say something about some sales tax stuff that's really interesting.
Yeah, I guess the state of Texas is trying to collect sales tax on online sales, so they sent Amazon a $269 million bill for sales tax covering the period between December 2005 and December 2009.
This is relevant to my interests. What?
Yeah, that's a big bill.
They're sending they want Amazon to pay sales tax for what?
For all the sales that they shipped to the state of Texas in that four-year period.
Why Texas?
Because they have a distribution center in Irving, so they're claiming that Amazon did business. Has a physical location in Texas.
They have a presence within the state.
Right.
Ooh.
It would be hard to argue that.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I'd like to point out that we pay our Texas sales tax early every month.
Right, we do.
We're happy to do it.
we should explain. Rooster Teeth is based in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
So when we make an internet sale to anywhere else in the country, it's no sales tax. But when we make a sale within the state of Texas, we pay sales tax on that. The customer pays sales tax, and then we file the sales tax and pay it.
By the way, something I never understood about our company, and we have an awesome accountant who handles that for us now. Why was it my job to do the sales tax up until I'm math retarded. I'm like the worst, least qualified person to do the sales tax for our company.
Jeff, it's literally one calculation.
I know.
It's a number that the store would tell you is the monthly revenue, and then
there was a dot in it.
We have lots of computers, and they can all help you with your math.
Recently, what were you doing? You forgot what how fractions worked recently, and
forgot how
he just forgot about fractions. So I had to remind him because he was like, "Okay, this doesn't make any sense," and he was like trying to he went into some weird convoluted thing where like he dividing something, and I was like, no, it would be a fraction. It'd be a fraction. And he's like, no, I think it goes into a negative number. If you divide this number by this bigger number, it's going to be a negative, obviously.
I didn't know that you could. Yeah, no, I forgot. I forgot about fractions.
That's what it was. It was dividing a number by a larger number, and you were like, had me convinced that it was going to be something like a negative. I'm like, there's no way that can be a negative with two positives.
Man, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
I know you would have, because me arguing with him was just as pathetic. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a fraction. I think I remember fractions.
I would literally I had a moment where I was like, she goes, I think I'm pretty sure it's a fraction, and I go, what's a fraction?
You're like, Fred, you get really excited. You're like, fractions, yes, I got it. Math right. is easy.
The over-unders. I remember this. They taught me this in 11th grade in Alabama.
Like immediately after that, you're like, you can't talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I'm glad you don't remember it well enough to make me to be really embarrassing.
Here we are.
Man. I feel so bad for Millie. Because, like, she's going to come home with math homework and be, like, teaching us basic math.
It'll be like when you came home with algebra homework when we lived with Gus and you asked him to help and he lowered your grade.
I had a basic algebra class.
Hey, I'm not a teacher. I did the best I could.
I had to take one algebra. I was a theater major. So they were like, okay, here, this is the easiest math class you can take. Good luck.
Check writing 101.
So I went to this basic algebra class. It was pretty much like high school algebra all over again. And Gus was living with us, and he was going on about how he went to math camp and how smart he was at math. And so I get him home, and I'm like, here, can you help me just with this basic formula? And he was just like, well, this is I do more experimental math. Like, this is ways
to experimental math. Like, this is exactly what I said.
I remember what you said. It was years ago, but you were like, oh, well, this is just basic math. I mean, I use, like, I'm so far beyond this that I don't even, like, I don't have to use this stuff anymore.
I'm trying to solve for Y, and Gus is like, I'm solving for YX plus the fraction.
this is exactly what happened. I'm so thrilled to hear your
The problem here is that I have a terrible memory, but I'm vindictive. So, no, but what was it you said? You're like... Like, you had used, like, you're in advanced math. You said, I use advanced math, so yes, I don't really use this anymore.
And when her class tanked, you were like, it was beneath me. I'm sorry.
I got a C in that class consistently, and the moment I stopped using Gus's help, I got a B. So there you go.
It's a poor musician that blames their instrument, Griffin. That's all I'm going to say about
that. I'm not saying I'm good at math. I'm just saying you're...
A bad instrument.
Oh, you fucking assholes. All right, that's it. I won't help you with anything ever again. Obviously, you can do better on your own.
Have I asked you for help since then?
No, obviously you haven't. Good luck with those comic commentaries.
Now that I'm out of school, I never have to do math again. It's getting pretty bad.
Except when you have to teach fractions to Jeff.
Oh, man. Actually, Monty and I had to try to put together shelves yesterday, and he's bad at math, too. And we were, like, just, like, trying to figure out how to make the shelves equidistant. So we had to count, like, the number of little holes that you have to put them in. And we were both like, okay... How are we going to do this?
See, I do advanced counting. I don't do basic counting.
We just had to
divide
44 by 11, and it was like, oh no, 44 by 4, and we were just like, I don't know. Like, it took us a while. Sorry.
Don't look at me.
Let's move on.
I want to almost know what's the limit of Jeff's math knowledge.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, like, you know what a decimal is, clearly, because you use money.
It's the little dot. Yes.
You know what a fraction is.
I do now.
Like, if I say, what's bigger, 1/16th or 1/32nd? What's bigger?
1/16th or 1/32nd? 1/16th would be bigger.
There you go.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Alligator points to the 1/16th.
Classic coping mechanism, though, to repeat the question while his eyes are rolling up. What is bigger, 1/16th or 1/32nd?
Hey, you got the answer right. All that matters is the results. This is America. The fucking method to get there doesn't matter, just results.
America is not a time trial. So do you understand, like, a base? Like, if I said, what is... Like, if I said, like...
It's where I was stationed in the Army.
What is 10 in base 5?
What the fuck is that?
Okay.
What is 10 in base 5?
How would you express 10 in base 5, Gus?
Fuck if I know. I don't remember how to do it.
He only does
that's not experimental enough for him.
All I remember is binary.
the math portion is over.
How do you express 10 in base 5?
2.
2?
Yeah.
Oh, 5 and a 10? Okay.
I remember hearing those words. I don't remember how they apply to anything, so I'm way away from the mic. Like, oh, I have bass. I remember the word. I was more into vocabulary of math.
I was more into treble. All right.
What was your best subject in school, Bernie? Like, in high school?
Gosh, I don't know. I realized I did my bass question wrong, by the way. My best subject in school was writing. I mean, English, okay. Yeah. I always had fun, you know, doing writing, and that was the thing I would do outside of school. I would never do math for fun. Clearly,
you brought in your Letterman's jacket or whatever recently for a short that we never ended up putting you in.
Yeah, bring it on.
What did you letter in again? It was something pretty cool.
I lettered in theater and math.
I lettered in theater and choir. We're pretty close. I did not do math.
10 is 20 in 20, base 5.
20. It is 20.
You guys forgot about the zero. The zero column.
I did a stupid thing. Yeah, it's got to go to the second category.
Yep.
Yeah. We're in base 10. I was somehow thinking that we work in base 1, which makes no sense whatsoever.
See, I understand. The words I recognize. It's just the context when you put them together makes no sense to me.
Here's a simple thing. Like, I said base 5, I said 2. I was wrong because I was short-circuiting my own math. But essentially, the highest you can go for base 5 would be, like, for a unit, we can go all the way up to 9, 0 through 9. That's base 10 is what we work in. base 5, you go up to 5. So 20 is 2 units of filled single units. That doesn't make sense.
No, the easiest way would be to go to 6, the next unit above the 5.
So, exactly.
The highest unit and then one of the lowest.
So explain this to me. That base 10, you can go up to 9, but base 5, you can go up to 5. So why do you lose the 1 between 9 and 10? Why can't base 10, why can't you go up to 10?
0 through 9 is 10 units.
Isn't 0 through 4 5 units? Why can you go up to 5?
Yeah, well, I'm saying you go up to that, and then 5 goes into the next column. Like, when you carry the 1, you're carrying a 5 over as opposed to carrying a 10.
Why the fuck do that?
Binary is base 2. So you have 2 states. You have 0 and 1. So the way you express the way you would express 2 in base 2 is 10.
Yes.
I feel like
that
somebody,
makes no.
I feel like somebody should come in and beat up all of you right now.
the
I feel like swearing, consistently at this point in the podcast. So I guess we'll edit it out.
Why do people use different bases anyway? Like I know binary is obviously used for computers to indicate like a state of something's on or off. And I know hexadecimal is also used, for memory addresses. But why would people use any of the other bases?
I don't know.
Seems like pointless math to me.
I feel like there's a lot of math out there just set out to confuse people who are not good at math.
Well, I wonder why in America we study how to calculate the area under a parabola. Like, that's basic math that you'll never, ever need in your entire life. Or the volume of a cylinder or something like that. But we don't teach economic math as part of it. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, trust me, we all learned what the result of that is 2 years ago.
Yeah, we don't teach, we teach probability more than we teach interest and percent.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. We use percent is probably the most complex math we all use on a daily basis, right?
Certainly don't use fractions.
That's percent.
Thank you, Jeff. That could not have been more spot on.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I want to cut this thing short today. I know we all
I want to read something. I got to get rid of my fucking base 5 mistake as fast as I can. Hold on one second. You're going to like this, Gus.
All right. I'm ready. I'm ready to like this.
So I saw this link somewhere. It was probably on Reddit that I saw it. And I read about the Nordstrom's employee manual that they give to their employees. You know Nordstrom's?
Yeah.
It's a high-end kind
department
of a
store,
nice,
yeah.
Fancy department store.
The place that always asks me to leave.
Is it true?
No.
It should. Somebody posted their employee handbook, and I want to read to you the entirety of the employee handbook at Nordstrom.
Okay.
And this is from Wikipedia. For many years, new employees were given a copy of the famous Nordstrom's Employee Handbook, which is a single 5x8-inch gray card containing 75 words. It says, "Welcome to Nordstrom. We're glad to have you with our company. Our number one goal is to provide outstanding customer service. Set both your personal and professional goals very high. We have great confidence in your ability to achieve them. Nordstrom rules. Rule number one, use best judgment in all situations. There will be no additional rules. Please feel free to ask your department manager, store manager, or division general manager any question at any time."
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Just common sense,
yeah.
Right?
Don't be an idiot.
Putting a lot of faith in your employees.
Yeah, that's
they have a good vetting process before they hire someone.
There's a little footnote after that saying now there's like a manual that goes along with that card.
Oh, okay.
But I just like the idea that back, there was a point in history when you could tell people, look, just don't be stupid. Don't fuck up. We're not going to tell you all the ways you can possibly fuck up and then tell you not to do that. Just don't fuck up.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, when you start at a new place, you don't know all the little, rules and, what you're supposed to say. I mean, something may seem like common sense, but it might be totally counterproductive in some ways.
Well, common sense is kind of a weird phrase.
You use that a lot, and it always makes me so mad. You're like, well, it's just common sense. It's like, it's definitely obvious to you, like no one else.
What would be an example of that?
Oh, are you trying to get things started?
No.
I really don't have an example. He uses it a lot, not against me, but just in general. Like, well, this is just plain common sense. But, something that's common sense to me, I don't know, out in the studio making something with my hands, I feel really comfortable with that. And it's why wouldn't you just do that?
When I think about common sense, it's when you say turn the burner on to cook chicken, when you're done, turn the burner off. That's common sense.
Yeah, but you use it for more than that, more abstract ideas that are really, I think people in general use, that's just common sense as something that it's really obvious to them, but it's not necessarily obvious to every single person in the world. It's just an overuse. All I'm saying is it's overused. Okay. Why are we fighting about this stuff?
I don't know.
Right,
so you just don't like the phrase?
I don't. Okay. I know. I just don't think it makes sense. It's not a very – common sense isn't – common sense. Every person has a different background, and they have different things that are obvious to them.
But I think that's what it means. It's common sense. It's common to everyone.
There's a shared sense that people should have.
No,
but that's so location-based, background-based.
Common sense is stuff don't touch fire. You know? Yeah.
Well, but I'm saying it's overused because people use it for things that aren't that basic. The things that are just obvious to them.
Well, okay. If you had an example, I would be happy to refute you.
Okay.
To me, common sense is I can walk into a situation in which I don't know what's happening. No one's told me how to interact with that situation. But I can figure it out based on the context and normal rules of how to interact with other people.
Right.
Like, I would know if I work in Nordstrom's, I'm not going to tell someone they're a jackass when they walk in the front door.
Or that they're, like, they're too fat for that dress.
Right. Just use your best judgment.
Right. Use your best judgment.
And if you don't use your best judgment isn't good enough for Nordstrom, we'll just fire you. That's shit, it didn't work out. You don't have to work here. No big deal.
Thanks for trying.
But that's like common sense within your area. I mean, like, okay, there's social – I'm sorry to argue. But there are social rules in each sort of area. And, like, you go to a different country and those common sense rules are not going to apply anymore.
What are you talking about?
I don't.
Do you think people go to other countries and work at a department store?
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you
what happens if I time travel? What happens then?
I don't know why this is so hard. Like, do you don't agree with me? Like, I was just saying common sense is very location-based. It's, like, I mean, even class-based sometimes, like, what certain rules, social rules are. Under basic understood things aren't so basic if you take somebody totally out of context and put them in a different place. Is that what you mean by context? Just, like...
No, I could walk into a... Like, I could potentially walk into a situation in China where I would not speak the language. And I think I would know... I wouldn't get myself into more trouble, you know what I mean? At least staying quiet, you know, and just observing what's going on. I would have common sense not to come blustering in like an American.
You're not
going to
drop your pants.
We saw some video of some dude online who was screaming at guys in a Thailand bar because they cut him off and they wouldn't let him drink anymore. And in his defense, he was drunk. And he got knocked out.
Yeah.
You're wondering if somebody snores when they pass out? I can tell you people snore when they get knocked out all the time. I've seen a lot of knockout videos on YouTube.
He was not using common sense.
He was not using common sense.
That's right.
Yeah, that guy. They did not end well for that guy.
No, it did not end well.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to start something between the two of you, I'd bring up the time that on the podcast, Jeff said he has never left a woman unsatisfied in bed. Never once.
You've been trying to bring that up.
Never once in his life.
I can't point to...
He certainly doesn't remember a time that happened.
Never once, ever. I'm very happy for the both of you.
No, okay.
Hey, and you're welcome, by the way.
No, I don't know. No, I mean, you... I think that you're...
I'm a considerate lover.
You're very considerate. But there are times where, like, maybe I don't know how deep I can get. Can I?
Griffin,
how vulgar can I be?
This is a safe place.
Okay.
I don't know that
nothing
is.
Nothing will leave this little room.
I don't know.
This little conversation between
us. Just between us, yeah. We're just friends talking.
Okay, well, I will be open. Hold
on. God damn it.
I got to take off my glasses for this.
Let me get another drink.
Okay. No, like, I might be a little loud. So I think that I may give an indication sometimes that things are happening when they're not happening yet. And,
oh, really?
But Jeff always makes the effort. Like, he doesn't just, he's not just like, oh, oops, sorry. Anyway, good night. Like, he's not like that at all. And you're great. But you certainly not ever, I mean, I would never say never if I were you.
You never say never. So you're saying there might potentially have been point at some point in there where not everyone was on equal level. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, but
this.
That being said, it goes the other way where girls have multiple orgasms, especially when they get older. And so it's not bad. I mean, I already have more orgasms generally. So I think that it balances out. But it doesn't happen very often where things are misinterpreted.
Jeff looks really disappointed.
Why are you looking disappointed? You should never have said that and been so braggy about something when it's possible that you...
This is the point.
This is a bad morning, dude. We've already kind of bickery this morning.
I can't.
Just going to remind us that his mother listens to the podcast.
No, I'm pretty sure my mom knows I'm sexually active.
Not all the time, though.
I can't. I gotta figure
sometimes
out.
Sometimes you're just sexually present.
Well, I certainly. He at least sounds like he puts a little bit more. I mean, you guys were just like, didn't you guys say that, like, kind of proudly admitting that you don't always please your wives? Isn't that what I heard?
Or don't care about pleasing.
I don't care about.
I didn't say shit. Don't put words in my mouth.
I feel like you backed Bernie up on this.
I did not say a goddamn thing.
Go to the tape.
I didn't say I was proud of anything. I don't, first of all,
it's common sense.
I'm just surprised that any guy would ever admit, like, eh, sometimes I just, I don't know.
First of all, this isn't about me.
totally about you. Everyone in the room.
I'd like to point out that you guys both have wives, and I could invite them to the podcast at any point.
Oh, my God.
My wife wouldn't awesome talk about anything on the podcast.
That's Esther true. Would be fucking awesome on the podcast.
Yeah, except I wouldn't drive her down here. Who's laughing now?
So you're saying I don't please you in bed.
I'm not saying that at all. I just said you give me multiple orgasms and it totally balances out. But I'm saying that sometimes you misinterpret what I'm doing or how I'm reacting as an orgasm.
Well, maybe you should be clearer.
What do you want to do?
Well, so they should just, like, sit perfectly still until it's happening?
You should have a light or a little flag that you raise.
Like a symbol, like a word.
Initiating orgasm now.
Like, no, robot sex.
I would say for, like, banana.
Maybe you could put a progress bar in your bed.
There you go. There you go.
No, I don't know. It's hard. And also, there's so many different variations of orgasms for women because you have a lot. There's a lot more balancing. And that's something I think that men overlook because they're like, this thing worked, so I'm going to keep doing this thing forever. And it doesn't work like that for girls every time. You do have to switch it up and see what else works.
I know you're not talking about me right now.
Oh, no, not you at all. Other people. Do you want to hear about the other people?
So you're saying, let me just extrapolate here. You're saying watching Jeff beat a campaign in Left 4 Dead on Expert doesn't get you all hot and bothered every single time?
No, I mean, in general, and I think this is for all you guys out there listening, don't just do the same thing over and over because it worked one time. Like, it takes, like, it's just different for girls every single time. So, and also, like, orgasms aren't always so clear either for a girl, especially when they blend in together.
This sounds like a lot of work.
No, you know what? You guys are getting bored now. You wanted to talk about this, and now you're all fucking quiet and bored.
No, it just sounds complicated. It sounds like a big waste
of time. It is complicated. Sex is complicated. It's not oversimple. That's not like a guy.
Well, don't worry about it.
Jeff, how many times have you been left unsatisfied?
Oh, don't even start. It's not, listen, just because something worked one time for me, Griffin, don't assume that you can do the exact same boring motion every time.
I'm not
and it's
going to
be fun and exciting for me. I need to be pleased. I need you to be inventive. I need you to think about what space I'm in when we're having sex.
I saw.
Pay attention to my body.
Cosmopolitan this month, the one with Katy Perry on the cover. I was looking at that for some reason. And on the cover, they had sex advice, and there was. The big headline was, first take off his pants. I thought, finally,
they got it.
There is good sex advice, finally.
They broke the story.
From Cosmopolitan.
Scientists have been working nonstop for years to figure that one out.
Have you ever read some of that stuff in Cosmopolitan? Like,
yeah, just no.
What guys like, but you're reading it from a female perspective?
What do we like?
It's really funny. First of all, those are written like every single guy in the world is like a mid-20s guy in New York City. You know, who's like an urban artist or something like that, and they're trying to please that guy.
Right, of course.
You know?
I'm actually relieved to hear that that's not what guys are into, because it's actually, I don't know, I get really turned off by those things. Like, oh, I have to do this to please a guy? Fuck that.
Like, it's all horrible stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I think all
I've ever seen is the headlines, and it's always, even just the headline and the cover's laughable enough. All right, so now can we wrap up for real now that we got the potty talk all out of the way?
I
just want to know if everybody's satisfied with the podcast.
Everybody's satisfied. I need some kind of indication.
We
can't have the same boring podcast where we talk every week.
You know, don't give me shit, all right? Your wives are probably thinking the same thing at home.
I mean, she was laughing, but was she laughing?
like she was laughing loudly, but was she laughing loudly enough?
Okay, I'm sorry, but sound is not enough. If you guys out there are relying on women moaning, that's not enough. There are other indications, and it's be fairly obvious, I think.
So we have a bad sex life.
Not at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just bragged about multiple orgasms. I shouldn't have to say anything.
Okay, there you go. I would like to say that we have a store sale going on right now. And that if you liked this podcast and would like to support Rooster Teeth, feel free to buy some of our discontinued merchandise.
Please do.
It is available for cheap, cheap, cheap. Oh, and also thanks to Flashover Games for a free copy of Star Wars Force Unleashed 2.
Also, thanks to Rockstar Games.
Oh shit! Yeah,
I think we kind of.
Well, how do we not talk about that
last week? They actually had two achievements. Definitely one.
Well,
achievement,
one is questionable, but
and one another achievement in the DLC for Red Dead that mentioned Rooster Teeth or referenced Red versus Blue or Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, thank you.
What did they say? Tell me.
One of them.
I think they're both secret achievements, aren't they?
Oh. They are secret achievements, so I don't want to say it. But they both involve mythical creatures that have been highlighted in Red versus Blue and or Achievement Hunter.
Cool.
And, one might be a little more obvious if you're a long-time
yeah. Really. And then one might just be us reading into things. But the obvious one's obvious. And thank you very much. That was very cool.
Yes, thank you.
And if any other video game company would like to feature us as an achievement, feel free.
Also, thank you to Macaulay Culkin for wearing the Touch My Awesome Button t-shirt.
He looked good on it. That should be your
He did
model.
Look good in it, yeah.
If you're dating Mila Kunis...
Is he dating Mila Kunis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, forever.
That means if they had sex while he was wearing a shirt, she had sex with a Touch My Awesome Button shirt.
You know what I want a picture of? I want a picture of Macaulay Culkin high-fiving Brian Austin Green.
Just there you go.
You
know?
Because it's like, you always hear about these famous women. It's like, who are they dating? Like, you ever hear about, who's Miranda Kerr? Who's the Sports Illustrated one? Marissa Miller?
Marissa Miller.
She's married to some construction dude.
Yeah.
They've been married for years, like, right? Like for a few years.
What's her fame? Anna Faris is married to a big, tubby, fat dude who's nobody.
Let's not throw stones.
No, I'm saying that's, you know, that's awesome. She's taking one for
the
team.
Isn't he also an actor?
Is he? I don't know.
I don't know why an actor would ever want to date another actor. It just seems
You know who the one that's the craziest to me is? You always see Eddie Furlong with super hot chicks. Like, he was with that hot chick from Star Trek.
Oh, he was dating,
what was her
Jolene
name?
Jolene Blaylock.
Jolene Blaylock.
She had a cover of one of those horrible men's magazines, was like FHM or Details or whatever, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Go for
please.
You guys are men, like adult men.
Supposedly.
Like,
don't pause when
adult
you say that.
Straight men. You guys know a lot about celebrity gossip. I mean, I don't even know these people, and you guys know all about their, like, the inner workings of their relationship.
It's all related to hot chicks, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it all comes back around to boobs.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that.
I don't know one of those housewife shows. I don't know anything about that. I don't watch any of those stupid cooking shows that Jeff watches. I don't know any of those summer dancing, singing shows that they put on. I don't know any of those people's names. I could care less.
But you know your hot chicks.
But I know the obscure dude who's dating the hot chick. That's the guy who gives me hope.
Yeah, that's important to me.
The tubby dude that's married to Anna Faris.
Like that fucking dude that was married to Brittany Murphy. That
oh,
dude.
God.
That dude was bald and fat. And he was banging Brittany Murphy every day. Now they're both dead.
There's the moral of that story.
Yeah, let's learn something
from
that.
I know
all
those dudes. Like, do you know the name of the cameraman who's married to Julia Roberts?
No, what is his name?
Danny Motor.
Danny Motor, yeah.
Somehow that sticks with me. I don't know how.
Well, that's a good name. Danny
Motor. I don't remember the name of the guy who was married to Jenny McCarthy, though.
Oh, yeah.
The director, that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looked like Puck from The Real World. He looked like...
John Asher?
John Asher. That's his name, yeah. He had a famous dad, right?
Did he? I don't remember.
Yeah. He directed some horrible movie with her, and it was either Lloyd Bridges or... Who was the guy before...
Lloyd Bridges?
No, there's a guy like Lloyd Bridges, and then there's another guy who's like him. Not Martin Sheen, but I guess it must have been Lloyd Bridges. He's the guy who had the stroke. There's two of those old dudes who are almost interchangeable to me.
I don't know.
I'll look it up later.
Old dudes are all pretty much the same.
Where's the dude who had the stroke?
A lot of dudes have strokes.
Well, yeah, it's true, but this would be a famous guy who had a stroke and was in movies stroking it out.
I don't know.
All okay. Right. I'll look it up now. See, right. Look, I ended on a downer because I couldn't think of somebody's name. He's not married to any hot chick. See?
Yeah, so we don't awesome. Know that.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right, I believe both of you. You're totally straight. I got it.
I think John Asher's father was William Asher.
What was William Asher?
I have no idea.
All right, well, that's...
That you're asking. His producer, director, William Asher.
You know, Gus, you're way over there in the corner running everything because you're, like, taking it up or whatever, but I miss you. You feel really far away. It's odd to talk to you across the room with a computer between us.
Yeah, it's a side effect of the new setup.
Can you not try to sleep with my best friend in front of me?
Oh, is that
well, apparently she's
flirting?
Not satisfied.
Yeah, have a blast.
That's what we've learned.
I'm really into guys who know advanced math.
I had no idea that would be that easy. By the way, that was awesome.
It's great to be married with someone who has multiple orgasms, because that means you're like, all right, you had an orgasm, and you're like, I had an orgasm. Yes.
No, I'm actually no, I. I'll
there
admit,
are seven
I'm
orgasms
probably,
to go.
I'm pretty demanding, and I do like, I'm pretty direct, which I've heard people say would be a good thing, because then they know, you know, the person knows what they want, and then it's easy, but it's got to be annoying. I mean, I've got to be annoying. I see that.
No.
I usually don't care in the moment.
You're perfectly lovely.
Guys like information.
Yeah.
It's the information age.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's the internet. Start a blog about it. Automate the whole process.
Just tweet it.
Okay. Can we end now?
No, he's looking it up.
He's
looking it
up. I was trying to kill time.
Oh, I can look up this thing. I think the movie that they were in was called Diamonds that they did. But I was actually going to look up Cosmo tips for pleasing your man.
Oh, there you go.
And read some of these.
See, we just keep stringing it on.
Do you want to hear some of this?
I do.
Tips.
Gus does not enjoy our company.
Pleasing your man. Why do you want to leave so soon, Gus?
I promised Matt I'd finish the podcast earlier today so I could help him this afternoon with any shorts production.
Yeah.
20 ways to please your man. 20 ways. Did you know there was 20 ways?
There's not
20. No, there's not 20. There's one way.
It's like name six if you can.
Unless it's stuff like when he crawls into bed, have an Xbox controller right under the covers.
First of all, one of the first ones is wear a football jersey. Come on.
Come on.
No, you guys aren't into this. Not your fetish.
I just got to take it off you then.
And it's like, I want to imagine my favorite football player while we do this.
I know. You know, football player jerseys are like the ultimate cosplay to me. It's like, I don't want to imagine him banging Tony
Romo.
You know? I would be afraid if I walked into the bedroom and I saw a girl, a hot girl in a sports jersey, I'm like, oh man, am I going to have to talk to her about sports?
Also, it's then like, the next time you go to watch football, you're like, man, is Emmitt Smith hot? Or oh wait, that's right.
You're going to confuse
now.
Them.
Now I'm into dudes. Yeah.
I honestly do not like when girls talk to me about sports. Oh. I'm pretty. You think I'm misogynistic, but you're crazy.
I actually been. What? Okay. Yeah. You just. I never said that. You don't have to be insulting immediately.
I am misogynistic on one thing, though. That was a joke. I said you're crazy because you're a woman. I'm not misogynistic. Mm. Get it? I actually don't like female sports reporters. I don't like that.
Why is that?
I don't know. It feels like pandering to me.
I don't like female punk singers. I if you listen to like your hardcore
How
female
dare
music,
you.
No, because it's just like screechy. Like you can't make a woman's voice scream that much without it hurting, and it's just like, ugh, fine. Like I just like men, I can get it. It's like, but I know that sounds kind of sexist, but I just can't deal with the voice. Is that part of it? Like hearing like the female tone trying to get excited about sports.
I just feel like they're always trying to play catch up. I don't know why.
I think it's just a side effect. If he doesn't want to talk to women about sports, then why does he want to hear about it from them? It's the same thing, I think.
I'd like to point out that I have no problem with any of these things. I think it's great that there are women sports reporters and women in punk bands.
Well, didn't Brett Favre in trouble?
Maybe if you're a little more macho, you can please a woman in bed.
Didn't Brett Favre send pictures of his dick to some sports reporter?
I think that's great.
Didn't Brett Favre, isn't he in trouble? Didn't he allegedly send pictures of his dick to some sports reporter?
Yeah, well, he admits to sexting her while he was married, but he says the dick pictures didn't happen.
I hate that term sexting. It's kind of lame. I just hate how everything has to be like that now. Like, everything on Twitter, that's one thing about the downside of Twitter. Everything is like some play on the word Twitter, and it's just like, ugh, get over it. I don't like it.
There you go.
You guys, you want to weigh in on the topic of female sports reporters?
I don't have an opinion. I don't think I watch enough sports to ever notice.
I'm happy what you said about having female. I'm very happy there are female musicians doing whatever they want to do. I just don't want to listen to. I don't like punk music anyway. I just don't want to listen to it. But I'm happy they're out there. Whatever they do in the privacy of their own studios.
Keep that shit behind closed doors.
I actually think I listen to more female musicians than male musicians.
Oh yeah, me too. But not punk. Like I just don't like the screechy quality of the.
Like
she
screaming.
Doesn't like my old ringtone, for instance.
Yeah, it's just like
no
women
one likes
screaming
your old
high
ringtone.
Pitch.
Brandon's got one that's bad now too. You guys were making fun of me the other day when we were shooting Immersion. You guys made fun of me for playing Sheryl Crow.
Because we were making fun of you what you were playing before leading up to that. You had had a bad run of music.
Yeah. It was like a string.
I'm sorry. There's nothing cool about Sheryl Crow. No offense. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd bang her. She's hot. She's super hot.
Sure, she'd be very pleased to hear that.
You damn right she would.
She's just been waiting.
I'm a
catch. The podcast.
You've got an endorsement from Griffin.
Right. There's a good chance I could please her on occasion.
Unoccasion.
You're taking this way negative. It's not my fault. Bernie brought it up.
Best sex you've ever had.
It is the best sex I've ever had.
Damn right.
I'm just being honest. That's all. Don't you care about honesty? I thought we cared about honesty in this relationship.
So happy that our sex life is now open for the internet. Anything else you'd like to talk about?
It's been open for the internet for a while.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, throw some more private stuff out there. That'd be great.
Well, I did for the comic but then it just got... I don't know. Jeff's mom listens to the podcast, and she's on the website, and it gets like, I just want to hear about it at Christmas with the whole family.
You mean your mom's like...
You're carving like a turkey, and they're like, so, what about that podcast?
Yeah, my in-laws are like, tell us more about your orgasm.
I saw a comic called Monogamy Plus. What is that? Yeah. God. So.
Oh, I think that we told your mom that was just for the comic, so let's try to keep that
up. It is just, yeah.
Total joke, guys.
Buy your boyfriend lucky underwear.
What?
That he can wear on certain days.
What does that mean?
What the fuck does that mean?
Who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck wrote this?
I don't think guys consider their underwear sexy in any way. This is what these are telling you, these magazines. It's just like, it makes no sense.
Lucky, I don't even understand the concept. Lucky underwear.
Is it like Lucky brand underwear? It's a brand
no,
of underwear?
No, it's
or is
special.
It like, this is your, like, if, when you wear this underwear, you're going to get a special treat? Because I would wear that underwear every fucking day.
You would?
Yeah. They're like, this is my only pair of underwear now. I'm sorry, I burned the rest of it.
It's all my point. I would do laundry every day.
It's my blowjob underwear. Thank you.
See, that's the problem. Most guys wouldn't do the laundry every day, but they would wear
it. Is that what they mean by lucky underwear, though? Or is it just like... cute underwear.
I can't keep reading that stuff. I don't know.
Okay, I don't want to, not to make everyone keep talking about their sex lives, because apparently that's uncomfortable for everyone, but what non-sexual thing is a big turn on for you? Like when you guys go home and then like something's ready for you or like something's...
Oh, dude, girls in football jerseys?
My lucky underwear?
Yeah.
No, come on. I'm asking you because I've been pretty open, so I think you should all be open. Like what thing is like a big turn on? It doesn't have to be sexual. It could just be like a nice gesture.
I think guys are pretty simple. I think the main thing that a guy wants is a girl who's nice and likes him.
Yeah.
Really?
Like especially like a guy comes in and she's happy to see him. That's
a tall order.
Yeah. You know,
so is deciphering the secret code.
You know, yeah, just like you know, one of the great thing about web chat is like just talks about it's great to see you and all that stuff. And then there's days when I come home and, you know, I get to share her day right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, where she throws a kid at you.
Yeah, you know, where it's like, you know, she's had a tough day, and you know, I think a lot of girls want to share. You know, they want someone to like, oh, you're finally home, so now I can like expose like everything that happened to me in the day and my feelings and stuff like that. Whereas it's just like, hey, we're happy to see each other, kind of a thing. Those days are the great days, and the days when if you get a couple of those other days in a row, it gets kind of hard.
Well, I can see too, like women like to have. I mean, they think that their partner is there to help, you know, share things. So I can see how there might be some tension between sexes when it comes to like expectations in a relationship. And you got on my case yesterday because I was kind of being like, we were both off yesterday and kind of bickery, and like you were kind of, I felt you were mean to me, but you were just like focused on what you're doing and you just weren't paying attention to me, but it came up sort of flippant. And then I was just being hypercritical of everything you were doing, and you just got so mad. Like, we were keeping it together because we have a house guest. So we were like, la la la, things are pleasant on the surface. And we get into the bedroom and it's like, rah, like immediately.
Yeah.
And we were both, the funny thing is like, now that we're tired and married and everything, we did that for like 2 minutes and we're both passed out. Like, we couldn't even keep the argument. When you're younger, like, and you're dating, it's like the argument can last for hours and you like open up everything, you look at everything, and you really don't do that when you've been with somebody for a while. It's like you complain for like 2 minutes and pass out.
What are you saying?
We'll just argue about it.
No, I just thought I was kind of being bitchy and I thought he was being bitchy. We're just being bitchy.
There you go.
Bad mood.
Yeah, we were just off yesterday. I mean, it wasn't anything.
I'm just tired. I'm tired lately. I had a bad day yesterday.
Yesterday was a hard day.
I had a hard day yesterday.
Jeff had a hard day where
technology failed me, and it was rough.
That happened to you today too. You just went on a like a weird roll.
You've been on a bad streak. You've had that going for a while.
When was the last time Finder crashed on you? It happened to me this morning. Opened a folder and Finder crashed.
Maybe you were trying the same things you tried in the past.
Maybe, yeah.
are you trying to egg things on?
It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't read the Da Vinci Cunt.
Finder was like, you want to find that file again?
Oh, double click again? Please. I've seen that before.
Try right-clicking it open once in a while. God.
Mix it up.
You know what? Okay. Can I suggest something to all of you?
Why don't you scroll like you mean it?
If you guys would like to find a very simplistic relationship where you can come in and like immediately your pants are dropped and you just have sex, you do the same thing you did before and it's totally awesome and it's fast, hook up with a dude.
It's called a prostitution.
Guys are way easy. No, prostitution seems like you got to deal with transactions. Like, how hard is it to get a contractor to your house? Seriously.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Wait, are you sleeping with the contractors?
I think she's sleeping with a gay guy. So, your sexual advice to us is find.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you're complaining about the women being too complicated and taking forever, or like needing to try different things, and like if you're complaining about women's basic nature as an annoyance, then maybe you should consider something else.
Here's the problem. You asked me, what would guys want in a woman? I told you, and now you're saying, stop complaining. I didn't say anything. You said, you tell me if all this stuff. I was explaining how women...
No, you know, that wasn't against what you were saying. I was just kind of the theme of the conversation has been what's wrong with women. That's what I've been hearing over here.
Again, perception.
Yeah, it's not what you said. It's what I heard.
Yeah, no, I know what you meant.
It's how you said it.
No, yeah. Guess you didn't tell me what you're turning on. What is it?
I don't know. I don't know. That's such an abstract question.
So you don't know
a
what you
pitcher
want?
Of vodka waiting for you at the front
I mean,
door?
Just, like, I want things taken care of. Like, I don't want to... I mean, this might sound bad, but, you know, I have stuff that I do during the day, and I want to know that the stuff I don't do that's not my responsibility has been taken care of.
I see. So you want somebody who's
I can understand.
I want someone, like, I want, you know, that symbiosis. Like, yeah. I want everyone to take care of their responsibilities.
Like, everybody's working in tandem toward the greater good of the family.
Right.
Because what's a corporate department?
I don't want to have to call HR. You know, it's going to be a whole deal.
Can I tell you something?
So?
If Jeff and I don't ever work out, we should never hook up because I would totally not be there for you.
No. Not a good
fit. It has to be a total mess. You'd hate me.
Yeah, no.
You'll cook and do the dishes.
Yeah, you'll pretty much be doing
it.
I don't even know what I do, but I feel tired all the time.
It's always been this case in all my relationship, but the order of magnitude of stuff that my girlfriend or wife have given me far outweighs the stuff I give them to do. I don't give my wife really anything to do. I gave her 2 kids.
That's a lot.
You know? But it's not like a daily thing of, can you pick up this? Can you get this? Can you go here? Can you do this?
Uh-huh.
I found that when I was working at, like, when before I was working in the office and I was working freelance here, but also other places and just had, like, a bunch of jobs. But being at home, people assume that you're just there to do errands or, like, why didn't you do this? Or Jeff would call me, like, oh, shit, I forgot my hard drive. Can you bring it down? And, like, and I'm happy to do it, but it's at the same time, I'm like, I am working. This is work. I mean, I'm at home, but I'm still working. Like, you would never walk into somebody's office and say, I know you're in the middle of something, but can you go run downtown and copy this thing for me and bring it over to your office?
Have you never worked with Matt before?
I was about to say, I'm sure that happens all the time.
Yeah, but I generally people wouldn't feel comfortable busing into your office or like calling you when you're at work, actually out there with the boss looking over you saying, can you just take care of these five things for me? So it's hard, like, that's, I don't know where
so
I was
Jeff,
going
you would
with
do
this.
That? You would give her stuff to do when she was at home?
Oh, everyone would, like, not just Jeff. Like, people would just call me like, oh, you're at home, right? You're flexible.
I would
who
do.
Who these people that call you and do things like that?
I would say
I don't
stuff
know,
like.
Friends, like, can you do me a favor?
If
like,
I
whatever.
Make the appointment, can you take Millie to the doctor? Like, that kind of stuff.
No, that's understand. Like, that's totally. Kid stuff is understandable. No, just like, dumb stuff. Like, you forget shit a lot. And when you were downtown, it was a really easy little jump.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I've asked you to bring hard drives to the office.
Like, this
before.
Last week, you forgot your hard drive, like, at work and then at home, like, five times you forgot your hard drive.
Every day. But I would do it in a really sweet way where I'd be like, if no, it's at all convenient to you, then that would be awesome.
No,
if not, I'll do it at lunch.
You would never, like, call up somebody in an office and say, hey, can you go and get this for me?
Sure, I would.
Okay.
If I know, that's okay.
I wasn't talking about you specifically.
I've asked Gus to bring stuff by the house for me that I left at work if I know he's still in the office.
How many times have we been on a location and it's like, hey, call the office, find out whoever's there, and have them
well,
run up?
Well,
that's Joel's job on every immersion, essentially.
It does feel like
I'm not even speaking specifically.
And we love him for it.
I mean, I think this group is very different, and we just touch so many different things, and we're in and out, and it's like not a typical company. I'm just saying, like, in general, and I've heard other freelance people complaining about this too. It's not just you. I'm just saying, in general, people, when you work at home or you work freelance, like, people just assume that you're available at all times to do whatever for them.
I can understand that.
A lot of times when you work at home, the company will make sure that you have a dedicated space that's closed off from the rest of the house to work at home because they know if people are there. The assumption is if you're home, you're there to do home stuff, you know, and it's taken for granted.
It is hard to make that separation too because, like, you'll be working, you're like, oh, fuck, I water my plants or something dumb, and, like, those little things get in the way.
Yeah, they do.
It is nice to be in office because then you feel – you just get a lot more focused, except for this office, which is not focused.
Well,
it's fun.
I'll give you an example. Like if I've worked at home and I've worked, you know, here, obviously, but it's not very likely that my wife would suddenly show up in my office here and say, hey, I'm leaving the two kids downstairs while I need to run and take care of a few things.
Yeah.
Can you just keep an eye on them? Like, she wouldn't drop them off at our office to do that.
When you guys got the Buta office, because you had been working out in one of your – in your guest room or something, right? Or your office?
Mm-hmm. We had a spare bedroom in my house.
How long did you guys do Reference to Blue in there?
50 episodes.
Yeah, 50 episodes there.
When you got the office in Buta, did you find, like, immediately that you were a lot more productive? Or were there different things you had to worry about?
It's hard to tell.
Yes and no. I can tell you that the day we moved into that Buta office, we became a quote-unquote company, and there became a lot more work to do.
Okay, I can see
that. We started filling our days with other stuff, whereas, you know, I don't know.
When you're worried about imposing in somebody's house, you're less likely to hang around or do whatever.
Yeah.
If not for some of the stuff I have to do late this week for production, this would be the week that I finally finished essentially all my admin work for moving into this building.
Wow.
Like, I'm almost all done with it.
Yeah, I know. We're still catching stuff that fell through the cracks, you know, mail that hasn't gotten forwarded, and like piddling things like that you don't think about.
Yeah, like just making sure that everything's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. And we still have some cabinet stuff we have to do, but it's one floor thing, but that's it. So it's hard to tell. But like when we first move, it's definitely kicked up. You know, we're doing shorts all the time here, and we're already working on pre-production stuff for the new Red versus Blue, and we've got Immersion cranking in the background. Haven't put that out yet, but soon. There's a lot more production, but it's like on an individual level, it's kind of hard to tell. You know, I feel like I'm in admin minutia hell sometimes.
Well, it does seem like you definitely you work to fill your space. Like when you guys were downtown, like you weren't really expanding because there was no room. But then when you started to expand, you realized you need a bigger space. But now it feels like there's something every day. Like I feel like there's a short or two shorts filmed every week. Plus, like we do try to squeeze Immersion.
I think we're being very productive in the new office.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
It's a creatively inspiring space. It's nice to have the room, you know, not to be cramped on top
and
of each other.
And the studio is awesome.
So it makes you feel more, enticed to do production, right?
When did you say, Bernie, that you were going to do a reveal and kind of show the community the office?
Oh, I think maybe, you know, as we get things done, you know.
We still need blinds.
Yeah, we still have a few things we need to hammer out.
That was my responsibility, right?
Blinds are coming tomorrow.
We got paper.
Are they?
The
thank
window.
God. Yeah,
are
I
they
got
coming
paper
tomorrow?
All over my
yeah,
fucking
tomorrow's the 18th,
window.
Right?
Yeah.
Or 20. Wait, what is this?
Tomorrow's 28th. The 28th.
28th. 18th is the old day. Now that's okay. The 28th.
No, God, that'll be so great.
I love when somebody put me in charge of something that requires organization. Griffin would be the best person for this.
Yep, you're doing a great job.
See, that just proves your theory. Not compatible.
Well, Griffin, you got to understand. Sometimes you just need to change things up.
You can't do things the same way all the time.
You can't do things the way they worked once.
We want you to be happy.
There you go.
Now, so are you guys going to be okay?
No, what do you mean? Marriage-wise?
Like for the rest of the day. Is this going to be an issue? Are you
No, okay.
Gonna go off
do you feel like this was fighty? Because I feel like
this is
pretty standard.
No, we're great. We're going to have sex at lunch.
You kind of made me nervous, like, because we had kind of been bitchy last night. And we were fine this morning because, I mean, you can't hold on to that stuff. But we did, like, an Achievement Hunter video. Which achievement was it?
It was collecting silver keys in Fable 3.
Yeah, and, like, you had me help you do the audio. And then at some point, like, I made a joke about how you...
That sounds great. That sounds nice.
It was a good time spent together.
How, like, you missed somebody when you were trying to hit them. And you were just like... Marriage is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I can't wait till this is over, or whatever. And I got a little worried. I'm like, oh, maybe
that's
this is
comedy.
Maybe this is the end. But you said it with no humor in your voice at all. It was like,
that's the humor, though.
It's the way you said it.
It's the absence of the way I said it.
I'm going to stop reading into things you say somehow.
I get news for you. There is nothing to read into in things I say.
That does seem very surface level to me.
I am very surface level. There's not a lot going on back there.
Yeah.
In my brain.
You guys ever seen Jeff Mad?
Yes, I have.
What was he mad about?
He saw me mad once.
Oh, you saw him mad about the...
When I was getting divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I broke it.
I think we talked about that a few podcasts
you're
ago.
A breaker.
But even when he broke all the plates, he didn't look mad except for the fact that he was breaking
no,
plates.
No, he was totally fine. Smiling.
Really?
I was smiling.
He had the 1,000-yard stare.
It was cathartic. It was nice.
You're definitely like you throw controllers and you like slam. I mean, it takes you a very, very long time to get to that level.
I've only
like you're not
one
like you
controller,
don't
I think.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was at the old office, and I broke it, and I felt really bad about it.
You threw a controller at home once.
Yeah, I thought you threw one just recently, didn't you?
Yeah,
that
you
was
throw
right
controllers.
Before we moved out. I was doing a... I don't even remember what the video was, but it was rough.
Oh, I remember that. It was a Mafia 2 one. You had to, like, jump a car.
Yeah, that's right. We had to put the car on the roof. That was frustrating, though. Have you ever tried to jump a car
no,
up
I,
an on-ramp?
I was actually really impressed, because it looked difficult.
Onto a snowy roof? It was
never
hard.
Never tried that before.
And stop the car?
Oh. See, Jeff, she was impressed by you.
Thank you.
No,
video games do work.
No, actually, I will say, I mean, especially because one thing about playing Fable 3, playing Fable 3 right now, because I really want to help you make Achievement Hunter videos for this. So I'm trying to keep up with you, and it's difficult because you actually have dedicated time during the day to play it, and I feel guilty playing games. Because I actually have got other stuff to do that's not video games.
Yeah, sure.
Last night I had to catch up. And so I had to just, like, do mission. I couldn't go and, like, chat around town and talk to people.
It sucks all the fun out of
it
the game.
It does.
Yeah.
I have a lot of – I have actually feel kind of – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, making achievement videos takes all the things you like about video game and throws them out the window and makes it work.
It's
true. It's totally true.
You love getting achievements.
But the way you play it, like, you can't even, you have to organize things in a way to where, like, you are the most efficient way to get all of those achievements so you can still at least play the game that you want to play, but it takes all the fun out of the game you're playing because you can't really meander or do whatever.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm not complaining,
That's
though.
That's how I play games anyway.
I love video games, and I love achievements.
I just got that...
I love my job.
Achievement in Red Dead. That was my last really hard one, which was win 3 free-for-all
matches.
Oh,
you got it. You got it last night?
I got it.
This morning?
I had a new strategy, which was now the DLC is out. I play at 6:30 in the morning when only lousy people are up playing. You know, all the 4 a.m. kids have gone to bed. They're actually, like, level 50 with golden rifles and everything else, and... I can play against the people, so I got it this morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you, and I'll tell you, it's about throwing controllers. I have a TV that is living on borrowed time. I mean, that TV should have had a controller through it about 5 different times.
So you throw the controller at you wanted to create the most damage as possible?
Whatever's the biggest thing to blame, essentially.
There you go.
The TV showed me my failure, so I punched it.
So how close are you to 100%ing that game?
Well, I have one hard achievement, I think, left, which is I have to get a triple kill in a certain kind of game type. It's like a capture the flag game type.
Uh-huh.
And then they have – there should be a rule against sticking in things that are qualifiers for achievements. Like, there's a poker one I have to get where you have to start with a full table. What's like, guess what? Nobody wants a load of bread to play poker.
Yeah.
You know, so it's – you know, 6 months, 7 months in, and then God forbid, like 2 or 3 years in, you're not going to get a full table of poker people.
What's a full table?
I think 6.
Oh, that's rough.
So, and, you know, you sit around waiting to get it, and then you have to have these, like, essentially these luck circumstances arise to where you can win, we can beat everybody in the game after the blinds have been raised like 5 times.
Right.
So that's one I have to get.
That was the thing that was always tough about the DLC achievements in Halo 3 for me, which would be like, there would be like a zombie achievement. And you'd be like, great, but I only play zombie like once every 20 games.
Right.
Maybe. So it's like once every 4 hours I have an opportunity to get the achievement. And then if I don't get it, I've got another 4 hour wait until I get it again.
Does that make it harder because you've got more pressure on those one, like the
time? Yeah, oh yeah. I do not do well under pressure.
And the Halo ones were tough too because after a while the later achievements were tied to map packs. So it was like get two kills the grave on orbital. It's like, well,
you have to wait for that game? Yeah, yeah.
Not only do I have to get two kills in the grave, I got to wait for Orbital to come up in the mix. And then, of course, everybody vetoes, and you're like, son of a bitch!
Gears of War is like that, too, where it's like you have the opportunity to play two different game types, and you're like, okay, I need achievements in this game type on this map. Please, don't veto this game type. And then they veto it, and then you're stuck playing another, and you can't back out because you get penalized, you know? And then so you end up spending 30 minutes, because those games can take forever, playing the wrong game type that nobody else wanted to, you know, that everybody else picked, so that you can then maybe get back in the rotation to try to get to the right game type. And you can spend an hour trying to get the circumstances where you could get your achievement.
Right.
It happens a lot in Gears because there's a ton of multiplayer achievements in that game.
Are those achievements worth more, though, because of that?
No. The achievement value means nothing to me.
I agree with that.
It's the 100%ing the game. So it's like if there are 50 achievements in a game for 1,000 points, each achievement is equally as important to me. Well, that's not true. The 50th achievement is the most important to me. The one that completes the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
I finally broke a 20,000 gamer score.
Did you really?
Xbox Live, yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's
Is it
great.
True that you weren't into achievements because you were already a little bit behind and Bernie and Jeff were competed? That's the story I hear from both of these
guys. Yeah, go figure.
That's totally true.
That's fine.
Like, you never got into achievements because you're already behind and they were already competing.
I don't want to play the game the way they want me to play the game. I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want to have my gameplay dictated by something that doesn't matter at all.
And that's absolutely not correct.
I understand both of you and how you like having achievements because it's just that added thing in the game. And actually, I do like the... That one, Fable 2, I actually 100%ed, and I'd never done that with a game before. And it was cool because it forced me to do things I would never have done, and I got a lot more out of the game that way. But when you have to do it fast like you do, like to get videos out on time, then it's like I was actually getting kind of stressed last night because I was wanting to do all these things, and I was like, oh, no, I got to keep up. But it's definitely a different style of playing.
Great style of playing.
No, I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm just saying it's like it would take some getting used to, and I'm impressed that you can keep up with have so many games rotating.
Sexually impressed?
I think we know the answer to that.
I don't think I'm OCD because I think that like being obsessed with the numbers would be OCD, but I do have a completion thing where I have to get them done. Like it's just I can't stand the fact that I have, you know, 5 achievements left in Red Dead. It's like,
why not
just finish the thing, you know?
You're a Capricorn.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
The one that kills me is Grand Theft Auto 4.
Whereas Jeff doesn't have to complete things. He can let them go.
He's a demo.
He can leave things unfinished.
He just distracts himself with a new game.
Then we've established that one.
This has been the best podcast. Could you guys get my mom to call in?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Can we call her? Let's call her.
That'd be awesome.
What can we talk to her about?
She's probably at work right now, right? We should record a nighttime podcast when she's off work one of these days.
She'd
get her to tell stories about Jeff as a kid.
My mom would be like, Jeffrey's a nice boy. Leave him alone.
Are you guys going to Alabama for Thanksgiving
definitely,
or Christmas?
Definitely.
Thanksgiving.
I would like to do Christmas because it was great. Like, the one thing about Jeff's family, my family's pretty broken up and distant and, like, not really getting along. And I love that Jeff's family is really tight, like, super tight-knit. And they do all these big holidays together. They have big meals together. And Millie's getting to experience that, and it's awesome.
Who's going to watch your house when you're gone?
You.
Somebody who doesn't have sex all over it.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, I noticed you finally got rid of the smell.
We have all new smells.
The Sorolla stink.
Yeah, I stank that house up.
Dude, what the hell?
The disgusting. Previous thing was that you left that, like, suspicious white liquid in a little test tube in our spice rack, and it was just like, I added my own spice. I don't know what you put in there, but it was terrifying.
We experimented with many different mixtures
to find
the grossest looking one.
What did you end up using?
I don't even remember at this point. We went through so many.
Oh,
that's
man.
A lot of thought.
But it had separated, and like the top was just like...
Yeah, that's disappointing.
We tasted fine.
So.
Oh, gross. That's not appropriate.
Well, now your mom is going to call.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. My kid didn't drink that. My kid won't drink or eat anything.
Yeah.
I think that's the most thought that Gus has put into any of our relationships.
I would agree.
I know. He spent more time
we've known him.
He spent more time on our house than he ever
does. He was
does.
A better friend when I was out of town than he's ever been in town. Or, like, not a better friend, but he spent more time focused on, you know, our friendship for the 7 days I was out of town than he has in the last 5 years.
I have the feeling, like, if something happens and I don't see Gus for 10 years, that I could see him after 10 years, it would like be the exact same.
Oh, absolutely. I can confirm that.
I hope so.
You know, like when he moved to Puerto Rico for a year and a half or whatever, I was like, this sucks. You know, what's this going to do to our friendship? Didn't do a goddamn thing to our friendship. I found out that Gus and I communicate solely via the internet and video games.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter. We talked on AIM just as much.
Was Star Wars Galaxies.
I don't even remember that period, really. I remember calling him a couple times, but I don't remember Gus being gone.
You were sleep deprived.
You'd get the funny Latin hold music every time you tried to call him.
I remember the phone calls because it was something I could ridicule Gus with. I remember two things about his time of living in Puerto Rico, which was how long?
It was a little over a year, almost a year and a half.
A year of your life. Here's what I took away from it. Chickens and hold music. That's it.
Fuzzy chickens.
He had a fuzzy chicken in his front yard or his neighbor's front yard, and he had funny hold music.
I think the neighbors grew suspicious of me always watching their chickens, and they took them inside and moved them into the backyard.
You got your neighbors had chickens. That's what you mean by fuzzy chickens?
I thought they were like weird chickens.
What did you just say?
Oh, I thought that was just some kind of like stuffed animal or something.
No, they had they had silkies, except they were all white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was really, really weird.
Chickens are awesome. That's one fun thing about Fable. Like universe, they just are really into chickens and they're everywhere. And there's this achievement that I got last night, where you have to get chickens to follow you back to this pen and like round them up around town.
Totally not an achievement, just a mission.
Oh, it's just a mission. Okay, yeah. Sorry. But anyway, follows you around and they like move like chickens. Like that somebody actually spent the time to observe them and.
You think they motion captured some chickens? I don't know. They put some chicken motion capture suits.
Like little dots all over.
Can I ask a favor? Can we end the podcast before it comes back around to me again for the 500th time?
Hey, I've been trying to end it over and over. I'm waiting for someone else to end it.
Yeah, I feel bad for Gus because he's got to edit all of this.
I just see it circling around.
Okay.
I can see it in Bernie's eyes.
No more plugs? All right. Thanks for listening.